The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
That what he's doing is he's allowing us to come to the end of ourselves.
Coming up, inspirational Bible teacher Kay Arthur shares her struggle with suicidal thoughts.
The second time I knew the Lord, and one of my children had hurt me so bad that I thought, I think I'll just hang myself in your bathroom.
Hope when the hurt runs deep. Next.
Joining us on Life Today, I'm Betty Robinson, and this is James.
And I'm over here saying,
can you do it?
Can you do it? Yeah. You know what she says?
You're not on yet,
Kay Arthur. Kay Arthur will tell you when you're on. Betty drives in the car when I hold the wheel.
Somebody has
and,
to
be. And, you know, and we'll be at a light, and she'll say, it's green as it can get.
You can go now.
Anytime now. I said, well, you know, when you're in the car, my mind can just be at ease. Kay Arthur's with us again today. Would you welcome Kay Arthur back to Life Today? Kay.
I want to tell you one thing before you say another word.
Go far.
Her smile. Your smile, the countenance of Jesus Christ radiates from you, Betty. It really, really does. I watch you on TV, and I just thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kay, let me tell you, her smile, it did me in. Go on, don't hold it back here, honey. Come on. I'm telling you, she turned around and looked over her shoulder in Baptist churches. We used to call the Sunday night Bible study training union.
Uh-huh.
I said it didn't matter.
I remember.
It didn't matter what you called it. It was what most people didn't go to. It's training union.
But I did.
She
did.
Oh, she didn't miss anything at church. And she turned around and looked over her shoulder with that smile. God, look at it. It still does me in. It just kills me. I love it. Thanks. I'm glad you noticed that. Kay, you've got a couple of books that have just been a tremendous blessing. Everything you write's a blessing because it's about the book.
Yeah.
It's about the Word of God. And this, as silver refined, and I really think that you say it's answers to life's disappointments.
Yes.
So the refining process, not necessarily fun, but if it's purposeful, it can be beautiful, right?
It can be. You know, in that book, one of the things that we deal with is the five deadly D's. Disappointment and discouragement and how it all ends in despair. And so if you don't stop it right away, if you don't understand that God is a silversmith, he puts us in the fire. And if you study that, they only put the fire to a certain degree at first because the silver can't handle it. And so then the dross begins to come to the surface. Then he scrapes it away, and then he makes it a little bit hotter. And then more dross is released. And the whole point is to get it to the point when the silversmith looks down and sees a perfect image of himself. And see, in Romans 8:28, it says that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. But we usually stop there and we don't go on to see what is the end result of all those things. It's so that I'll be like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so that when the world looks at me or the world looks at you, they don't understand how you can live the way you're living and be radiant with the radiance of Jesus Christ. I share Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a horrible, horrible disease.
Absolutely.
You know, and I share there the story of friends of mine. And when he got Lou Gehrig's disease, how he said to his wife, now this is what we're going to do so that we might show others the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And so that's why we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We're put to death all day long. And all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. A couple years ago, I was in Indiana, Jack's sister and brothers. I went out after midnight to get my computer, broke my ankle, and I was supposed to go to Budapest and teach. We, Precept Ministries, works in 150 countries and 70 languages, and I was going to go and be with a bunch of those people, and we were going to do the book of Daniel together and reason through it. And I was crying out, and it was so dark. And I said, Lord, Lord, oh, please let it be all right. And so I've got, excuse me, but that's the way it was. So I've got my foot up in the air, and but my foot is going this way, and my leg is going this way, and my foot's going that way. And the verse that comes to my mind is, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We are put to death all day long. So I'm, you know, easing my way back, yelling and trying to get help. But God, everything that comes into our lives has a purpose. And that purpose is to make me like Jesus. And that's, you know, when the hurt runs deep.
This is another book. That's the one
yeah,
I wanted to
Yeah, this is the more recent one. That
right.
one I wrote, and now it's got a study guide built in and that. And this one I just wrote, and but in this book, for instance, I was reading the manuscript. You know how you do. After you get through writing it, and then they edit it, and I'm reading it, and there's an illustration on suicide. And I thought, what is that doing here? I didn't put it here. You know, I had it in my chapter on suicide. And so I went to my chapter on suicide, and it wasn't there. And I said to my publisher, what happened to my chapter on suicide? They said, well, you know, people don't like to talk about it. It's just such a heavy, heavy subject. And I said, I'm sorry, but it's going back in the book. Now, you take that, and because I said, we're not talking about it, we've got to talk about it. So you take that and as silver refined, and you look at disappointment and discouragement in that. And so I share in there three times, once before I was a Christian, and twice afterwards,
this is suicide.
When I was
suicide
tempted,
thoughts.
When I was tempted to commit suicide, and
you're a Bible teacher.
I know. You're in a warfare too, and he desires to take you. The enemy desires to take you out, and so so anyway, we deal with suicide in that book. But my husband committed suicide. My first husband committed suicide. I was divorced from him. But when he committed suicide, I had to deal with the things that I had said to him. Like, do a good job. This is before I was saved. Do a good job so I get your money. You know, because I was trying to bluff him out of it. So the whole point is that whatever the circumstance or the situation that we go through, even the awfulness of suicide, God sits on His throne. No man can take his life without God's permission. God has a purpose in it all. And that purpose in everything in life is to make me like Jesus. And when I stand before Him and see Him, Jesus, for the first time face to face, when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer for the deeds done in my flesh, the more I am like Jesus, the greater my joy will be. You know, He talks about hold fast. Don't turn away. You'll shrink back at His coming because you'll be ashamed. And you know, the first time you look in those eyes that have loved you with an eternal, everlasting love, the first time you look in those eyes, you want to be able to look at them fully and drink in that love and not hang your head in shame because you weren't what God wanted you to be, because you became angry or because you became bitter. See, Hebrews talks about bitterness and how that root of bitterness springs up in you and troubles you and defiles many. And that's what can happen in a family.
How do you reach a place as a Christian where you don't want to live?
I think that you reach a point as a Christian where you don't want to live when you want to take things in your own hands. When you say, like, the first time before I ever, in my first marriage, it wasn't turning out the way I wanted it to turn out. It wasn't my dream. So I thought about hanging myself in the basement. The second time, I knew the Lord. And one of my children had hurt me so bad that I thought, I think I'll just hang myself in your bathroom.
To hurt them?
Which is meanness.
You wanted it to be where it would hurt him.
I want to be where it would hurt him. I wanted him to see what he was doing. And that's the way that so many suicides are. You know, the third time was when all of a sudden I was visiting my mother and I realized I had a conference the next weekend and I thought I had 2 weeks. And I thought, I can't do it. I'm worn out. You know, so I think there are different reasons. What we have to realize is that Satan is the deceiver.
He's
the liar.
He's
a murderer from the beginning. Mm-hmm. From the very beginning, his intention was to murder Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. and he did. Because he convinced them that you couldn't trust God, that God was holding back on him. So he wants to destroy us. He wants to take us out. That's his job. And so I have to realize that he's a liar. He's a father of lies. I have to learn how to deal with my emotions. I have to bring everything that I'm feeling up against the plumb line of God's Word. And that's why everything that I write
is saturated with Bible.
Are
you writing to help people see that no matter where they are, what assault they're under, how heavy it is, how unbearable, and the thoughts that would come, that God wants to deliver them from those thoughts? See, when I wanted to die.
Yeah.
I asked Betty to pray I'd die in my sleep because I was defeated. I was a mm-hmm. very gifted preacher, great success, but my thought life, my desires, my appetites, my attitude, it was all amok. Mm-hmm. It was wrong. And I just thought, God, I don't even want to live anymore. I wanted mm-hmm. to die, mm-hmm. You know, rather than disappoint. I didn't realize, though, and I mean, I'm just telling you, this is my journey. The enemy had his foot on me, mm-hmm. and the tormentor and the arrows yes. and the suggestions of the devil were lodging. Mm-hmm. And the Bible had become a book to preach out of. Mm-hmm. It was a sermon book rather than mm-hmm. the book of life.
Yeah.
I went to it to get sermons. I didn't go to get life anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I wanted to die. And that's when I experienced incredible deliverance. So I got to ask you, when people reach that state, mm-hmm. and obviously the enemy's assaulting, and sure, mm-hmm. God will use it, but he used it to bring me to the end of myself and realize I can't win against this enemy. He's bigger than me without you. And I need this one in me to get bigger in me and his
exactly.
word come alive so I can walk over the enemy like dust. And that happened. Does that play in? Does that fit into?
Yes, it's in both of these books. See, the thing is that what he's doing is he's allowing us to come to the end of ourselves because it's self that gets me in trouble. And this is why when he gives the gospel, he calls us to a cross. He calls us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him. And so anything that is keeping me from experiencing Jesus Christ in his fullness and being transformed into his image, anything that's doing that is really hurting me and hindering me.
But can we live there? Because see, I feel like now, Kay, I got to be honest with you. The suffering that I feel now, whatever comes, you know, I'm going to walk mm-hmm. through it with him. But I feel what he's burdened for. I
yes.
feel his, and I've been captivated by his dream. What's in your heart, Lord?
Yeah.
And he tells me he wants his people to be one.
Yeah.
He tells me he wants the whole country and the church to come to the shelter and the shadow of the Almighty, to let him be your shepherd. I hear that.
That's because it's
this
no longer about you.
It isn't.
Right.
I mean, I'm telling you, I'm walking in a way that I've found that I've been walking there, and it's not without battles, but I'm telling you, I live a joy-filled life. I've got a peace that passes understanding in the midst of the storm. If the whole place topples, God knows our state's been on fire. We're having all kind of challenges, the nation. But there's a peace in me, and yet I got a burden. I've got the burden of the Lord for the nation. I've got the burden of the Lord for the church. I want people to come to him and be the family he's looking for.
I love it.
I mean, something's happened inside of me. Am I healthy? I'm asking him. I feel like I'm somewhere I'm supposed to be. That's
the way we're supposed to be living. And see, most of the church right now is turned into a hospital.
Yes.
And we heal, but he sends his word and heals us and delivers from all of our destructions. And so we need to be healed. And he said to the man by the pool, would you be well?
Yeah,
and see, a lot of people don't want to be well because they get all this attention.
So when you're talking about all of these things that happen to you as a Christian, you're trying to say to people, you can be here, but he wants to take you somewhere else.
That's right.
You don't have to live in the ditch.
Right. And it's no longer us, but it's him.
Absolutely.
Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Mm-hmm. And he lives by the word of God, by the Son of God. And see, the problem in the United States of America is we have so much, and I deal with that in these books, but we are trusting the wrong thing. And so he's going to remove from us, he's going to shake the things that can be shaken so that the things that cannot be shaken will be seen for what they are. And that's what it's all about.
Stop trusting Pharaoh.
Yes.
Stop looking to the hill and look to the hills. Look to God. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
We look to the wrong source. We made the wrong God. Stop it in Jesus' name. That doesn't mean you can't correct things. I mean, it doesn't mean you couldn't go give wise counsel to Pharaoh and he might make some decent decisions, right?
That's right.
It's possible to turn things around.
You know, one of the chapters I deal with is pulling the plug on pain. And I use it when my dear, precious friend, you know, had to pull the plug on their son. Mm. You know, and so, but we've got to pull the plug on pain and say, and embrace what God has given us.
And shape
thank
Christ
him
and
realize
shape Christ in
exactly,
me, whatever I'm going through.
Exactly. And I talk about how do you handle these things and how do you go through them and principles of healing. But there's a time to say, okay, my weeping has endured for a night. Now it's
joy
time for joy in the morning.
Stop
but
asking
reading
why.
Reading the Psalms.
Stop asking why
yeah.
and settle in on what
exactly.
do you want to do with it? What do you want to do with me? Through this, am I going to be able to comfort others with the comfort wherein I've been comforted? Am I going to be able to identify with people in a way that only someone who's been through it can identify with? Look for what God's going to do with it. You know, you and I have had some pretty rough blows throughout our life. I came from a really rough situation. I don't care where you've been, probably the two of us. Betty's had a pretty sheltered life.
Oh, bless you.
The thing is, most people have not going to have had many more struggles than we've had. But listen, we don't have to live being trampled. We can live as overcomers. And it is in the power of the Word of God, which really Kay teaches so beautifully and effectively. But she wants you to understand. I understand, she say, and I can see what God's doing. Mm-hmm. Would you just say a big thank you to Kay Arthur? Thank God for that. And Precept Ministries, there's Kay's website. You can see where she's teaching. Get some of the teaching materials. Set up Precept teaching in your own area. You'll be blessed by doing it. And I just thank God for you. By the way, to every one of you, thank you for your prayers. I honestly believe the progress, the process of change and the work of God in my life has some because many of you prayed for us. You have no idea what an encouragement you are, but you've helped us win millions of people to Christ. You've helped us save the lives of precious children. There is no way I can ever say thank you enough. Betty and I could weep over what we see, but we could do so little. We'd do what we can. We do and will. But it would be so little compared to what can be done when we do it together. I want you to watch, if you will, please. Hear the heart of God, even through a missionary, as he appeals for his children in his own nation. And you and I hold the answer in our hand and in our heart. Watch closely.
Thank you. the tool of that enemy or the weapon is malnutrition. It's the silent killer that takes those lives. And yet, you know, to stop this, to counteract it, to end this onslaught of the enemy and to literally bring an end, what we all have to do is we've all got to stand together. We've got to form that barrier. We've got to form that line of defense. And then we've got to draw a line in the sand together that says no more. It says from today it stops. From today, we literally will stand as a barrier, as a defense mechanism for the children of Africa, for the mothers of those children on this continent, and we'll say no more. You don't cross this line. Because from today, we'll ensure that each and every one of those children that we can reach gets the food they need, gets the nutrition they need, gets the life that they deserve.
I wish I could freeze frame for a matter of moments on those eyes. I don't know what you see. I think I have at least a glimpse of what God sees. I think He sees precious. Precious are the little ones. I've never understood how anyone could hurt a child. I've never understood how people can just take pleasure in hurting with words or inflicting pain. I never understood college hazing. I never understood any of it. I don't understand that. I don't know how you can look at a child in pain and not want to correct it. And sometimes you can't. But when it comes to hunger, now please listen. I plead with you. The Old Testament prophet said, plead the cause of the widows, the orphans, the hungry. Don't turn them away. If you see someone hungry and you can help them, don't turn away. I'm asking you not to turn away. I'm asking you to look and touch and see those little eyes and say, you're precious. They look up. They look so hopeless. Here comes hope. Here comes the blessed hope expressed through us. You see, you heard that missionary son of Peter Pretorius, who's a missionary now, Isaac, telling you what the concern for the continent of Africa. We're asking you to dial that number. It's there if you need prayer. Even today, while I'm saying, look, let's save starving children, 80% of the calls will be from people, perhaps like you said, pray with me. And we will, because God loves you, and we want to help you. But would you call today and say, let me take care of 10 of those children. Let me feed them for the next month. Let me take 5 or 3. You say, well, James, what would it take to feed 10 children for the next 3 months? It takes a gift of $100. To feed 5, it takes 50. To feed 3, it takes 30. You say, 30 is not much, but if it's what you can give, it's a whole lot to those 3 children. And it's a whole lot to the missionaries. If you could give 50 and help us care for 5, do it. I'll always ask you, if there's any way you can, and you know what you can do. Jesus said, what do you have in your hand? Just what do you have in your hand? You take what's in your hand, and we can put this in the children's hand. And in it will be hot porridge soup designed for the nutritional needs in that particular area. Would you dial the number? Would you take your bank card and use it like a check? Give $100 if you can. Give 50 or 30, but please do something. Or you can go online, lifetoday.org. You write a check, and many people still say, that's what I want to do. Make it to Life. The largest gift you can, put it in the mail. We want to send you some gifts to bless you. We want to send you Beth Moore's incredible book, The Life That Overcomes. And we'll send you the 90-day Bible. You can read the Bible in 90 days to those of you who will help us care for 10 children or more, as well as Beth's. Any gift you make to help, we'll send you Beth's book. The beautiful bronze, The Heart of the Father, for those of you who will make a special gift to help us care for 100 children, a $1,000 gift. Some of you can do that. And you'll say, thank God I can do it. But whatever you can do, it's so vitally important. thank you for your gift. Thank you for going to the phone. Thank you for making that call. You are giving life.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of hundreds of thousands of suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst famine and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you Beth Moore's book, The Life That Overcomes. This Life Outreach exclusive, featuring a collection of messages from Beth's heart, will inspire you to live an overcoming life each day. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may also request our new 90-day Bible, designed to help you read through the scriptures in just 90 days. Finally, as a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the beautiful Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today at lifetoday.org.
We just say thank you from the bottom of our heart for your help, and want to say also, in addition to Beth Moore's book and the 90-day Bible, if you'll help us care for 10 children, please do it. But if you will just help us as many as you can to care for as many children as possible, we'll send you Kay's book, When the Hurt Runs Deep. She's an awesome teacher, and we just say thanks. Join us telling Kay Arthur how much we appreciate it. Bless you, Kay. And all of you, thank you. Thank you for enabling us to share life. Thanks for your gift. Everyone is rightly concerned about who will lead our nation, who will fill the various offices. I've written a commentary that I believe God put on my heart. It's critically important. It's titled, What Not Who. We must understand the what to find the right who and insist the right what is done. Go to the website, get a copy, and pass it on.
And there's no storm He ever lets you find yourself in the middle of that He does not have a victory for you.
Wrecked, but not ruined. Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.